How are we doing today? Is it okay if I stand up here? All right. So it's good to be back. It's been a few years since I've been able to be here on a Sunday morning. I've been able to hang out with the students here a few times as well. Everybody watching online, it's good to have you as well. And everybody in the parking lot, just give me a beep or a honk honk or something. Let us know you're here. Hey, and if I say something that just gets your spirit pumped, hey, give us a honk. That's the amen for the parking lot people, okay? Can we do that? That's cool. So I have the privilege of serving as a Youth Alive missionary for Wisconsin and Northern Michigan, and for the past 10 years, my family and I have been committed to this idea that every student matters, and so when I travel and speak, I love to bring my family with me, and so I'm going to show you pictures. So my wife and I, we've been married for 18 years. We've celebrated the big 1-8 in August of this year, and if you would have asked me in that year of 2002, if standing at that altar, looking each other in the eyes, Marlena looked gorgeous in every regard. I had hair. That hair had highlights. I was in a tux, and my socks were color coordinated with my wife's wedding gown. Yes, you heard me right. I wore white socks to my wedding day. Any gentlemen watching online, any people in the parking lot that are not yet married, gentlemen, white socks on your wedding day, it's how you rock it. I'm just going to let you know in advance, okay? So, but we're committed to this idea that every student matters, but looking each other in the eyes that day on our wedding day, if you would have asked us, Dan, do you think that over the course of your marriage you're going to experience significant loss? I would have said, no way, no how. Absolutely not. You know, I follow Jesus, so my life's going to be easy peasy lemon and the squeezy. Like, that's just, that was my theology of that in that point in my life. Having grown up, having gone through a couple of things, having divorced parents, a hearing impaired father, having to be fluent in sign language to be able to do all the communication sometimes for him, I thought I had gotten all the tough stuff behind me, and that, wow, apparently life doesn't always go the way that you think it would. So if you'd have asked me 18 years ago, Dan, do you think that you'll have to have a funeral for your daughter who just at 13 months would pass away, I would say, no way, no how. Dan, do you think you'd have to walk alongside of an amazing woman as she battles chronic migraines? I said, no way, no how. And Dan, do you think you'd have to battle depression that would shroud your soul in despair? I would say, no. I followed Jesus. Man, life's good. Life is good, and so is God. But sometimes life doesn't unfold the way that we think it should or even thought it would. But in the meantime, God's trusted us with this ministry called Youth Alive. And I can't thank him enough for letting me be a part of this ministry, because for the past 10 years, we've been working all over Wisconsin and Northern Michigan, helping students discover, well, the inherent worth and immutable value of their life. Now, Marlene and I, we do have amazing kids. I want to show you a picture. Logan in Camden, he is 13. He plays piano, Xbox, PS4, and he's just an amazing young man. And the other night we were discussing geopolitical realities, and I'm not kidding, the kid likes to go deep. And so he's asking, so Dan, or Dad, he calls me Dad, not Dan, that'd be really weird. Excuse me, Mr. Dan, you can call me Dad, son. And that'd be super weird, wouldn't it? And so the other night at bedtime, because we have moments every evening together, most evenings, where we just talk and then we pray. And he's just asking me, Dad, what's going on in the world? And I'm like, you have the internet. Look it up. But he's just super excited to learn more. And so he's asking, like, are China and India still mad at each other? Because they had a little spat a couple of months ago about their border region. And Logan is just an amazing young dude, and I can't thank God enough for him. And then this little ball of sass standing next to him, her name is Camden. She is 17. Anybody know what I'm talking about? She has so much personality. It's awesome. And when she was just a couple of years old, she flexed her personality on us in a way that was like, oh, okay, I see you. And so I had to use the dad voice. She was doing something that she should not have been doing. And moms, you have this voice too. In fact, any adult that works with children, you have this voice. And the voice communicates displeasure. You're not yelling yet, but you're on your way. You're in that space between annoyance and apoplexy. And so I had to use the dad voice. And I just said, hey, Camden, that's all I said. That girl, see, stop. She pulls out her pointer finger. She rotates. She looks me right in the eyes and says, you don't talk to me that way. And I thought, oh, my goodness, who is this girl? On the inside, I'm dying. This is funny. But on the outside, I got to keep it together, because if she sees me break now, she will own me for the rest of my life. And so I keep it together. And I walk over to her and I was like, hey, Cammy, listen, mommy and daddy, we are the boss and we will talk to you that way. And she looks at me with those big, beautiful blue eyes and says, okay. And I'm like, okay, that's it. Okay, that was too easy. Now, when she's 16, I'm gathering that the conversation will feel different. So if you just grab the hand of the person next to you, we're going to pray for me. Why aren't you doing it? Like, she's awesome. And so the Herod family is committed to this idea that every student matters. Every student matters. Within minutes of this building, our students navigating the most difficult season in recent American and even global history. Think about the crossroads that our nation and world are at right now. It's pretty powerful. Studies have revealed that students today, 61% are reporting feeling more lonely than before the pandemic. That makes sense, doesn't it? In fact, I would assume probably we as adults are probably feeling the loneliness too. And here's an upside, because I believe there's always an upside, because God is always present. He's always redeeming everything for the good. Why? Because he said he would. And he is good. The upside is that teenagers are spending more time with their families. And teenagers are getting more sleep. Both of those are yes and amen. Like, the world's just a happier place when those things can happen. And so in the midst of a pandemic, it's vital that we, as the church, we keep our eyes on the prize. I love the song that we sang this morning, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Why? Because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We can be aware of our surroundings. We can be excellent in our moments, but we must not lose sight of the one who called us by name. He literally called you by name, invited you and I into his life, and said, let's go do this the right way. Because before he showed up, guess what I was doing? I was doing it the wrong way. I was doing it my way. As much as Frank Sinatra penned that catchy tune, guess what? Christ's way is the best way. He's not just an idea. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And his life is the path to the Heavenly Father. Like, who he is the conduit. It's more than just his ideas captured, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down by people inspired by the Holy Spirit in different languages. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he is the thought expressed, called the Word, that was present at the dawn of creation. And that's hope-filling for me. That we don't follow this ideology that's just kind of, well, I hope you make it. If you're good enough long enough, guess what? Maybe you'll win the lottery. And the deity will shine upon you. Truer words? Think about this with me. The difference between Christianity and every other major world religion is this. In every other construct, spiritually speaking, the follower has to climb the ladder to appease the deity in hopes that one day they will be deemed good enough by the deity, that they would have to offer sacrifice after sacrifice and become better and keep climbing. Christianity is actually, it's just different. Because of, instead of us having to offer sacrifice after sacrifice so that the deity may smile upon us, guess what? The deity came down and became the sacrifice for us. We're singing about it now in this Christmas season. Heaven left earth. Why? Because he couldn't stand being away from us. He couldn't bear the thought of you going through life without hope, without joy, without peace, without purpose. He couldn't stand any of that. So he put his heart where his mouth was, and he put his life on the line
and he became the sacrifice. And so the deity came to earth, became the sacrifice to give us the favor that is eternal. Isn't that awesome? Think about that with me. That is hope. That is the good news. It's not dependent on my behavior at all. Thank God. Because he knows I have messed up. Listen, the biggest problem I have in life is the man I shave with every morning. For those of you who have the weirdest mental image, let me help you. It's me. But Jesus came from heaven to earth and filled me with his Holy Spirit and is guiding me through his word so that I don't have to worry about being better than anybody else. I know that now, through the power of Jesus Christ, I can be better than I was yesterday. I can be more loving. I can be more patient. I can be more kind. I can be more faith-filled. I can be what this world needs. And that's kind of like the heartbeat of Youth Alive. Now, before the pandemic, we were working with a team of speakers and going to schools all over the place. I want to show you some of their faces. You may recognize a gentleman by the name of Reggie Dabbs was in this zip code bringing hope. And powerful things happen. Lives are changed when this gentleman and the other gentleman on the screen show up with Youth Alive and get to share their story. And it was just a couple years ago in Iola Scandinavia School District in Wisconsin where Reggie is sharing his story. He's telling the kids, don't give up. Don't give up. You can make it. And he's encouraging them. And at the end of the program, a young teammate of ours ran up to Reggie and she's like, you got to come with me. You got to come with me. So Reggie left the stage. He made a beeline to the back of the auditorium and up the graded curve. And he finds this young man. He's hunched over. He's disheveled. He's frustrated. He's discouraged. And this young man is ready to quit life. How do we know? Because we would find out later that for 5 nights in a row, he attempted to make the ultimate choice that there is no returning from. And the reason why I'm being vague is because I know this is being broadcast online and I know that there are potential young ears listening to this. 5 nights in a row, how deep does your darkness have to be to try not once, try not twice, try not 3 times, try not 4 times, but 5 times in a row? And so after hearing Reggie speak, this young man needed encouragement. So Reggie pulled him close. Gave him an embrace that spoke a million words in a moment. And now that young man was able to get help from his school, the support that he needs. And that's just one of the ways that lives are being impacted by Youth Alive. That's just one of the ways that hope is reaching schools because we're not allowed during the day to share a gospel message. But powerful things are still happening. Now, I don't know if you've heard of, if anybody here ever heard of the coronavirus? Anybody? Anybody watching online? So, after the coronavirus hit, we had to pivot just like you did. We had to figure it out, and so we pivoted online. We created some virtual resources. Our friend Terrence Talley created 10 5-minute character building videos that have been viewed over 3,000 times in the past several months. And that's what you just got to do. You got to pivot. You got to find your way forward. You can't retreat. That's not an option. So you got to find your way forward. And so that's what we did with Youth Alive. Now, I want to make sure that you understand just how much this church has made a difference. Because since 2010, we've reached over 200,000 students during the day. Over 200,000 students have been reached with a powerful message of hope in their school, on their campus. We've been able to go to them, and this city has been reached several times. We've been able to serve Escanaba and Ishpeming. We've been able to serve the Upper Peninsula. Now, don't get this the wrong way, Pastor Dave. It's kind of your fault. And the reason why I say that, though, is because he's leading this church in a way that understands the value of missions, how we can't sit back and wait for things to happen. God has invited us sometimes out of the boat and onto the waves. He's called us into a life of challenge, into a life of purpose, into a life of focus. And when you give to missions, instead of taking your $5 and going to Starbucks, you take your resources and you invest them into the kingdom. Now, I'm not against drinking coffee. I am very good at drinking coffee. I'm just saying there's something invigorating about trusting Jesus with your life, so much so that you release your resources into his hands. So those lives that you see on the screen behind me, that number, it's your fault, Maranatha. And those of you watching online, if you've given a dollar to the missions initiative of this church, it's your fault too. And I mean that in the most loving way possible. Now, we got more work to do though. And I do want you to find us online. We're on the Instagram and we are on the Facebook. Okay, find us there. And then last but not least, stop by the table. You can grab a resource that we've developed for students to share the gospel. It's free for you today. And then also, why don't you grab one of these? It's just a picture of me and my wife smiling. And on the back, it's some information on how you can contact us. But on the front is, again, the name of our ministry. And then again, on the back, there's ways for you to pray for us. So I want to show you a quick video that highlights where we're going this morning real quickly. And I'm excited to share this story. But before I share our story, I have to say thank you. Thank you for believing in Youth Alive. Thank you for believing in what we do. Thank you for trusting God enough to release your resources into a ministry. And not just my ministry. Thank you for believing in missions. Because that really is the ultimate indicator of what we believe we're here for. If we believe we're only here for us, we're not seeing the full picture. So thank you for giving to Youth Alive. Thank you for believing in the mission of the gospel. Watch this video.
We all want a good life. Most of us wake up every morning hoping and believing that good things are going to happen. But what do you do when life turns out to be more like a haunted house than an amusement park? My name is Dan. In 2011, my family suffered a horrific tragedy that caused me to question everything I know. My beautiful 13-month-old daughter was brought to the doctor for a routine checkup. She was pronounced perfect. When my wife laid Peyton down for a nap that afternoon, she never woke up. What do you do when what has happened has left you with a life you never wanted? When we pivot from asking why bad things happen and focus more on how you and I can suffer well, we chart a course that is productive, that is hope-filled, and will eventually lead to abundant life. It is possible to live through loss. You can grow through the pain. I'm inviting you into my story to help you suffer well in your story.
So the sweet thing about God is, and the promises that we have, is that he said he's going to take everything and use it for the good, the tragic and the awful. And Logan, he had to be there through that tragedy. He had to live it, and he is stronger for it, and he is a sweet spirit, I think, in spite of or because of the situation. God has blessed us with a little girl. Her middle name is Joy, and she is nothing but joy, pure joy, all the time. And I don't know if I'd have my little 5-year-old Camden right now if the situation, I don't know. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for all of it.
Let's change the way we talk about suffering and live the life that was made possible by a greater love. It is time to suffer well. Now available at Amazon.
So I know in the space of this place and those of you watching online and those of you listening in the parking lot, I know that tragedy and loss is not unique to me. I know that if we were to pass the microphone around the room and even let people chime in online and even listen to the stories of people sitting in the parking lot listening to this, I know that there would you could fill the half an hour with your story, with your pain, with your tears. And I want to make sure that you hear this one thing. God is with you. We're going to sing this 1,000 times this Christmas season, Emmanuel. But when you're walking in the darkness, Emmanuel feels different, doesn't it? It's like the candle in the middle of a dark forest. It's a flashlight in the midst of a cave. And if I just have one thing that I need to share with you, it's that God is with you. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. And it's going to be, eventually, it's going to be okay. And right now, it's okay that it's not okay. Because sometimes we really romanticize Christianity. And we've actually devolved it into like a big kind of bless me, self-motivating, better me in 7 days club. It's so much better than that. After we lost our daughter, people said a couple of things to us that really hit us sideways. Here's the first one. God would never give you more than you can handle. Have you ever heard someone say that to you? Weren't you tempted to give them more than they could handle? Like, why do we say that? And is that even true? I think it's so important with all of our opinions and ideas about life. It's vital that we let God speak. Why? Because he knows what he's talking about. Like, if Jeff Bezos from Amazon wanted to maybe teach me something about how to build an empire, I think I'm listening, right? Aren't you? If Bill Gates wanted to talk to me about how do you build a computer, guess what? I'm all ears, Bill Gates. Why? Because they know what they're talking about. And for us, as we live our lives, it is super important that we let the Creator of all things talk to us and inform us about how things are from His vantage point. Why? Because He knows what He's doing. And there's this verse in John chapter 16, verse 33. It's discouraging before it's encouraging. But it's John chapter 16, verse 33, and Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he's like, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this life you will have trouble. That's bad news, isn't it? And then there's good news, but take heart. I have overcome the world. What did he just tell them, because he says, I've told you these things. What did he just tell them? Well, if you rewind just earlier back in the chapter, Jesus is like, hey, it's going to get rough. Life is going to get difficult. And it's important that we understand that following Christ is not an exemption from suffering. It's an invitation to a life of meaningful suffering. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying the more it hurts, the more you're doing it right. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that Jesus is saying that in this life, you and I will have trouble. That word trouble in the original language, because the Bible, again, was inspired by the Holy Spirit into minds that did not speak English. And in this specific case, the mind who received the message through the verbal plenary inspiration was speaking Greek. And the word that was penned for you and I today, that word trouble is tribulation, which is just a fancy way of saying ouchie mama. Like, that's what tribulation means. It's gonna hurt. In this life, you're gonna have tribulation. And so that's bad news, isn't it? But I'd much rather be brought up to speed on maybe what I should anticipate than be lulled into this false sense of like yayness. I would much rather have God level with me and say, hey, this is going to be difficult. But he just doesn't level with us. He tells us he's already taken care of it. So here's the truth. Does God give you more than you can handle? 100% yes. And I've got a little thought on if it's actually God sending your way like a lightning bolt from Olympus. I've got another thought, but here's the truth. God will not ever give you more than he can handle. Why? Because Jesus said, he has overcome the world. He is our victory. He is our life. He is the reason, not only for this season that you and I are in right now, Christmas, but he is the reason for our hope in life in general. He has overcome divorce. He has overcome dysfunction. He's overcome sickness. He's overcome all of that. And he spiked the ball in the end zone. I mean, how much more victorious can you be than being killed and then coming back? Isn't that amazing? But that was just another day in the office for our Savior. He laid his life down. No one took it from him. He laid it down. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Isn't that awesome? That same power source, that same nuclear reactor level power that resurrected, reanimated Christ's decomposing corpse in the tomb, in an instant, resurrection power was manifest. And you and I have a reason to believe. Here's another phrase people said to us after our daughter passed away. Everything happens for a reason. Have you ever heard that? Is that true? Here's my struggle with that phrase. Because it sounds like, whenever this is being said, it sounds like God is causing everything to happen for a reason. And here's where I theologically will go this morning. Because in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "For we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." Now, another translation says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together." Notice that it doesn't say God causes all things. Here's what I believe. God does not make everything happen for a reason, but he gives a purpose to everything that happens. Let's rewind the creation story all the way back to Genesis. God creates Adam. He creates Eve. He's got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's got a lot of other options too. But he looks at Adam. He looks at Eve. He goes, "Hey, yo, lean in. Listen, listen, and listen, please. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat of that fruit. Don't eat the fruit. For if you do, you will die." So what did Adam and Eve do? They ate the fruit. Now, a thinking person would be like, well, why didn't God just take the tree out of the garden? And that's a really great question, isn't it? Like, wouldn't that have just saved a lot of pain? Here's why I believe God didn't take the tree out of the garden. Is because he desires a real love with us. And a real love cannot exist if there isn't a real choice. So God, at the dawn of creation, chooses us, but then he gives us the ability to not choose him. And as a parent, oh man. The tension in my soul over the reality that God is trusting you and I enough to make our own decision to choose Him back. So, does God cause everything to happen? Did God cause Adam and Eve to fall? No, they chose to do that. Did God cause the divorce that wrecked your family? No, there are people involved that chose to do that. Did God cause the cancer that ravaged a loved one? No, that was a result of the fall of creation. That's where sickness, death, and disease and dysfunction entered the equation. But this is how beautiful God is. In the first Adam, creation fell. In the second Adam, the book of Romans describes that as Christ. The second Adam, all things are being made new. So in the first Adam, things got messed up. In the second Adam, things are being put back together. And that's Christ. So as we think about how you and I are going to suffer, well, I just have one thought and then I'm done. Because what do you do after the pain? After you've cried your last tear, what do you do next? Well, you got to heal. And here's what I've learned. Time heals nothing. What you do with that time can heal everything. And so, understanding the pain in this congregation alone, as you are grieving, which please, grieve. It is good to grieve. It is right to grieve. It is appropriate to weep. Why? Because this is part of the journey. This is how we honor those who have left this earth, is by grieving their departure, but celebrating their homegoing. And so as you think through how you're going to live through 2021, I mean, some of the best news is that December 31st is almost here. And in the complete irony of it all, would you believe of all years, 2020 was a leap year? So we had one extra day of 2020 this year. Why? Just because 2020. You know, if the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man was walking down this street, I wouldn't be surprised. Why? Because it's 2020. There isn't anything you could tell me right now that would surprise me. Because I'm like, hey, it's just 2020. But I do know this, that God's good. And none of this surprised Him. None of this surprised Him. And He has a plan. He has a purpose. So as you think about what you're going to do next, because really that's what matters. What are you going to do next? What's your next step? Who are you going to trust? How are you going to heal? Are you going to forgive? Are you going to move forward? Are you going to trust the Lord? Because that's where your healing is found. That's where hope is won. As we wrap up our time together, I just want to encourage you with the very same thought that I shared at the beginning of this thought. God is with you. He is here. And for those of you watching online and those of you seated in the parking lot, He's never been closer. He's always been near. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your hope. Thank you for your life. Would you help us now in this moment to reach up for you, knowing that you do not despise us, God. You love us, Jesus. You have called us by name. And in this moment, we trust you to do more than we could ever ask or imagine or even dare to hope. This morning, Jesus, we believe for physical healing in this house. Those of you watching online and those who are seated in vehicles all around us listening, Jesus, we know that in an instant, God, you can heal a heart, you can mend a body, you can restore a mind. So, Jesus, we thank you for the power that is present in the cross. And it's not just your death, it's your resurrection, God. So we stand on your word. We stand on your truth today, knowing that we never had to be strong enough because you have always been strong enough. So today, God, we thank you. We trust you. We love you. We honor you. We celebrate you, God. And we ask this all in your name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dan. Encouragement, isn't it? Great encouragement. Would you stand with me, please? Dan will be at the back table after service. You're welcome to go back and chat with him, take a look at what's on the table. If you're in need of prayer, we would be happy to pray with you. Some of the deacons will be down here in front just for that purpose. Father, thank you so much for this day, the opportunity to share together in worship, in prayer, and in the Word of God, a great challenge and a great encouragement to us. As we go from this place, we pray that the light of your life and love would shine brightly through us this week, that we would exhibit joy everywhere we go because we know Jesus and we've been set free from our sins. Help us, Lord, to show you brightly to this community, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.